702.
The Friday Mix. Food.
Right, let's hear more about Dolce. Earlier on, we got treated to a pasta dish. It was just so delicious. It was so homely. I felt like there was, well, it wasn't a grandma cooking it in our kitchen. It was Jackie Boyd herself. And hello. She's here with her partner and husband, Clinton.
Clayton,
my apologies.
No problem.
Good afternoon. How
Hi,
are you?
Good, thank you.
That was such a lovely treat.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was such a pleasure. It felt so good. I still feel warm. I feel like I've been wrapped in a blanket of love.
Yes, on this cold day.
Yeah, exactly. So let's look at this particular, your restaurant, Dolce Cafe. And you are situated in Craig Hall Park. Anyone who drives through all those roads and parkers may have spotted you or have been there already, just behind the spa and what is it?
The Liquor City.
Yes, sorry.
Craig Hall Liquor.
Craig Hall Liquor and that beautiful flower shop. I love the variety. So it's a really lovely corner
that you're
situated on.
Yes, we're quite a cute little community. And in fact, we are a community restaurant. That's how we've marketed ourselves. And we're in the center of the community. So in that little strip mall.
Yeah, but what does that mean to be a community cafe?
So we cater for everyday eating, simple food, like you said, a home-cooked meal. You know, maybe on your way home, you don't feel like cooking tonight, pop into Dolce. We're open from 7 in the morning a whole way through.
Yeah.
Right up until 9 o'clock at night. And then, yeah.
That's a long day for you.
Yeah, it's not. I have a whole team who helps me. Otherwise, I wouldn't manage. Mm-hmm. And we just do simple home-cooked meals. We're not fancy. We're not. We're just an everyday eatery.
Yeah.
That's our...
Typically of Italian origin. I mean, Jackie is Italian, and obviously the name Dolce being Italian.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some South African crossovers. I mean, you can't do toasted sandwiches without a chicken mayo.
Yeah.
I mean, the Italians would yell and scream at you, but there's just certain things. We've got hamburgers as well. We've got but we do everything with an Italian bent. So our hamburger is a giant Italian meatball, a polpette, that we squash down to make it look like a hamburger.
Yeah.
So that we do everything that is general that South Africans will love because we're in a South African community, but Jackie is of Italian origin, so we bring in the Italian to everything that we do.
Yeah, let's explore that a little bit because you are a qualified pastry chef, right?
Yes, that's right. So I went to UCT, did that whole thing, excuse me, and didn't enjoy my job.
Yeah.
And then as I was working part-time in corporate, I decided to I was working corporate full-time and decided to part-time do a pastry course here in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And then, thanks to my partner in life and in work, we decided to pack up our lives and go to Italy for a few months. And I worked in a pastry shop in Italy. And that was a wonderful experience. And I'll remember it forever. Mm-hmm. And it was super. So my family still lives there. So we lived with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the pastry shop and... it was super, yeah. And then we came back home.
And you brought back all that love for pastry with you.
Yes. It was actually really funny. The old Italian man who owned the pastry shop, he actually had sold it, but he still continued to work every day.
Oh, wow.
And he was quite happy to share the recipes because he's like, you're not going to be anywhere near us, so it's fine. Because they guard their recipes very, very closely to their heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. But you got his secrets out of
him. I got his secrets. He was like, you're far enough away. It's fine.
Yeah. But the beauty of it is that you started as a pastry shop and then you expanded your menu.
Correct, yes. So we started as a little tiny, we were a tiny, tiny little store, and then we took over the store next to us. And we added in dinners. So we started as a pastry shop, then we added lunch or breakfast, then we added lunch, then it just carried on and carried on and carried on. And now it's a full-fledged restaurant.
Yes, yes. But Italian food, as we were talking while we were eating, you were talking while we were eating, was how regional it is. Just take me through this nuance, this particular aspect of Italian cuisine.
Yeah, so it's very specific to regions, and there's certain dishes that are very well known in a specific region. So, for example, pizza, Napoli. If you want to have the best pizza in Italy, you go to Napoli because that's where it's made, that's where it's come from.
Yeah.
Comes from. Of course, anywhere else, it's still delicious, but that's its origin. So anywhere you move, like 10 kilometers, any direction, the food differs. and it's specific to that area.
But a lot of it has to do with the overall history of Italy. There were dukedoms, there were fiefdoms. The Pope in Rome had a big area that was known as the Papal States. Mm. So they dealt with different sorts of commerce. So the food is very reminiscent of that commerce. So right. If you go to Venice, they were one of the strongest navies during the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. So the fish in their food is everywhere.
Mm.
Everything is fish-based. Whereas in Jackie's region, it's known as the breadbasket of Italy. So you've got areas like Modena, which is where your balsamic vinegar comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You've got areas like Parma, where the Parma ham comes from. Polenta, which is yellow pap. And Grana Padano.
And it's just, I think it's also about what is found in that area. So yeah. you don't take food or things that are not grown locally. So it's about what is around you and use that to make your food.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's still like that today.
Yeah.
Which is super. It's amazing because that's when you get the best product, right? Don't bring something from far, far away that's been on a ship for months.
Yes, yes. And that is the best way. Mm. And as we're seeing a bigger demand for that kind of approach because it's more sustainable.
Yes. And it's lovely. And the food just tastes better. I mean, food that is locally grown that this area is meant to make just tastes so much better than something, like I said before, that has been on a ship in a freezer.
Prepackaged.
Yeah. It's been traveling for months. What have they put in there to make it last this long?
But they refer to it, and there is a movement here as well called slow food.
Mm.
And that is, there's a big movement in Italy to go back to slow food.
Yeah.
Making it the old way, local product, locally sourced.
Mm. And really making it stretch, right? Making sure that you derive all the benefits out of that particular animal or out of that particular produce.
But also the farming structure that Italy has. They haven't gotten into that big corporate farming mentality. You know, a farmer will own a couple hectares of land. He'll grow a certain thing and he'll sell it to a co-op or he'll sell it on to somebody who then makes something of it. He doesn't have to go from the ground to final product all within his own factory and manufactury. Yeah. He just grows the stuff.
Yeah.
So wine, for example, local wine that's not really labeled. It's just local white or local red. You know, you'll see the trucks driving in with grapes on the back. Yeah. They get weighed going in, they dump it, and then they get weighed going out, and they get paid for their grapes.
Mm-hmm. And it gets turned into wine.
And somebody else turns it into wine.
Exactly. And it's only to be found in that region.
I was just going to say, to Clayton's great joy, they actually have vats at the grocery stores. So you go with your 5-liter bottle and you just...
of local wine, red and white.
Straight into your own bottle and then off you go.
Off you go.
How quaint.
And it
is
makes
that?
It so much more affordable because you don't have to pay for the bottling and the corkage costs.
Yes, yes. So let's just look at how the food is treated because as you were saying, that you find that we, especially with the dish that we had, it starts with the broth, then parts of the meat is used, say, for one meal, and then another part used for another meal later on.
Yeah, so just looking at the history of where food comes from, this particular dish. So this is cappelletti, which is specific to Ravenna or Emilia-Romagna, where my family comes from. And on a Sunday, that is your Sunday lunch. So you have you make the broth from a variety of meats and vegetables, and that goes on at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it boils and boils. And then from that meat and vegetable, you have your main course, and then before that, you have the cappelletti in brodo with the broth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, with the meat that's left over, you mince it all up and make polpette with a nice Napoli sauce and some peas. And then if there's still left over, because big families, it goes for days, then you just put the cold meat, you slice it up in a lovely salad, and there you go.
Yeah.
One pot, four or five different meals.
There we go. So describe to everybody what we had today.
Okay, so we had cappelletti ragù. So cappelletti is a pasta parcel, and it's in the shape of a little hat, and it's filled with Parmesan cheese, a mix of pork and beef.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, you can either have it with a clear broth, or we had it today with ragù, which is a bolognese sauce.
Yeah.
And it's very hearty. It's very warming. It's we have it on our menu all the time, but I definitely recommend it. It's more of a winter dish. Like in summer, it's quite hot to have all that. It's a lot.
And it's quite popular, as you said, on the menu. And then they were... why am I forgetting the leaves now suddenly?
The
Bay leaves.
There we go.
Wrecking my brain. Yeah. Bay leaves. Is that a huge ingredient?
Not really, but it does add something. That was in the ragu. That was in the bolognese sauce. So yes. We do put that in. It just adds a little flavor, a little something on the edge.
About with the Italian foods, it's very simple. Mm. I know in South Africa, we love our mixed spice,
yes.
Our Italian spice that has like 15 things in it. But typically with Italian food, you will allow one herb to speak.
To be the hero.
So
yeah.
You will use a basil, or there will be a rosemary, or in this case, there is a bay leaf in there. Other times, it's oregano. You don't typically mix all those flavors because you can't then pick them out.
You can't identify what it is.
It becomes too complicated. There's a bit of history there, which I'm sure everybody would be bored with. But,
but what is the secret to a good bolognese sauce? Is it exactly that?
It's just simple. Don't add too. I mean, I'll tell you what mine is. You have to come try it though. So it's just you do a sofrito, which is a base of carrots, celery, and onions. So you chop that fine, and you let that fry off a bit, and then you just literally add your mince.
Yeah.
And then your passata, and a couple of bay leaves, a little bit of.
What's passata?
It's the Italian tomatoes, and then a little bit.
It's a tomato, not a thick tomato paste. The tomato puree.
Yeah, you can buy it at most grocery stores. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of seasoning. If you like pepper, you can add pepper. Otherwise, just salt and a couple of leaves of bay leaves, and that's it.
Yes.
But everyone has their own recipe in their own way. This is how we do it.
Yes, and I feel like probably a lot of us have been doing it the wrong way. Because I find that the tomatoes sometimes, depending on what you use, can make it quite acidic.
Yes, there's a secret to that.
Mm-hmm.
A spoonful of sugar.
Yes, to balance it.
Yeah, or some people also use butter. Mm-hmm. But so that takes out that acidity. And just let the food speak for itself. Let the pork mince and the beef mince do what they need to do. Don't cover that up with other stuff. Just let that speak for itself. And it was very flavoursome.
It was. Yes. It was.
And it's very simple
you
to
saw
make.
Our faces, right? Yeah. We were like,
it's very, very easy to make. Mm. And there's nothing.
The use of the pork mince lightens it. Because if you use just pure beef, which we actually have an option in our restaurant for those who don't eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a pure beef option. But the pork mince actually adds a little bit of lightness to it. Because already, you know, as Jackie said, it's a winter dish. It's quite heavy. So just adding that pork mince in there really just lifts it a little bit so that it's not quite so dense and heavy.
Yes. Well, I've got an SMS here that says we lunch there every Friday and Saturday, VZ Magazine.
Oh,
excellent. Excellent.
Look at that.
They're there every Friday. Probably expect them today or tomorrow. But the key to a good pasta, because you make your pasta on site as well.
Yes, yes. So we make, apart from the spaghetti and the penne, everything else is made fresh there. Which is really simple. It's just flour and eggs.
Yes.
And
you go simple until you mess it up.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you.
Watching them make it, it's the number of times they put the pastry through the roller. Mm. Sorry, the pasta.
Yeah.
Put it through the roller, getting the right consistency, getting the right thickness, the right amount of flour.
Yes. Everything has a technique. But it's not difficult. You can learn it. In fact, I taught someone the other day and they really enjoyed it. So,
One of Jackie's frustrations in Italy is they're not a nation like the sort of the Germans or the Swiss of precision.
Mm-hmm.
They're very artistic. So when she was learning pastry and there she was diligently with her notebook and pen with this pastry master.
Measurements. I need measurements.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a term Jackie can tell you that it basically means by the eye.
Yeah.
And he just knows how much to put.
Well, he's also done it for years and years and years. Because people are, it's an artistry. There's pride in what you do.
Mm. But that can't be the same for the pastry side.
Well, I didn't think so, because you do need to be pretty precise with pastry measurements. But there are a few things that you, by the eye, sugar and things like that. But it's not recommended.
No.
It's not recommended.
As someone who's not a star at baking, definitely
stick to the recipe.
Exactly. So we've neglected the original star to dolce, which is the pastry side. What are some of the star treats on the menu?
Okay, so we have a beautiful pastry chef. A beautiful pastry fridge.
Look at you, Tom.
I'm a boy. A beautiful pastry fridge from the cases, and everything is tiny, so it's just a bite. So you can have a variety of things. We did bring in some South African favorites like milk tart and apple crumble and pecan pie, lemon meringue. But we also do have the Italian favorites, which is like a cream horn, which is a puff pastry, a sweet puff pastry, which is in the shape of a horn, and that's filled with the fresh pastry cream that we make. Mm-hmm. Got the mille foglie. And a slight take on the mille foglie is the chocolate mille foglie. So we've taken the pastry cream and added chocolate to that.
Ooh.
We've got the Nutella cream horn. Fruit baskets. And they're tiny little bites and they're delightful.
Love
and,
that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that. Especially like after the kind of pasta meal that we had today.
Just something just to enough. Top off.
Yeah. And there's a tradition in Italy where it's culturally completely wrong to take food to somebody's house. So if somebody invites you to dinner, you don't take food or wine because it's indicating that they can't provide for you.
Yeah.
So you bring these pastries, which if you eat today is fantastic. If you don't, for an Italian, it's breakfast. That with an espresso they'll have for breakfast.
So you take a full tray of those pastries to someone's home and it's lovely. Because you can have a little bit of it.
You'll be invited back. That's sure. Be invited back. So that is Dolce Cafe. That was Clayton and Jackie Boyd, the owners. And it was lovely, actually. It was really a delight to experience what you do on a daily basis at Dolce. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Details online?
Yes.
There's an Instagram page.
Instagram and Facebook are the most prevalent, but we do have
a website. It's www.dolce.co.za or @Dolce_SA on both Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And of course, Facebook. And we're 28 Clarence Avenue in Craighall Park.
There we go. Thank you so much.